gathered together with one item on the agenda, and that is to worship him. To worship him, because he is worthy to be worshipped. He is worthy to be adored, and we are going to praise him, for he is worthy. I'm going to ask you at this time, just go to about two or three people around you and just welcome them in the name of the Lord and greet them with the joy of Jesus. Why don't you do that just now? Just greet them. Good to see you. Amen. Amen. So good to fellowship with each other. The joy of the Lord is our strength, and it's good for us to share in that joy together. Especially want to welcome those of you who may be here for the first time. If this is your first time here at Sittingbourne Baptist Church, or you're visiting again with us, you are so welcome, and we pray that this service will minister to you this morning. I want to call your attention to the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 24, our open passage of scripture for this morning. And I'm going to ask Anna to come, and she is going to read these verses for us.
Good morning. So I'm going to just read this for you today. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money.
Amen. Amen. We are going to be talking about money today during the sermon. The topic of our finances, our treasure, and also our possessions. And here we see through God's word that we have to check ourselves with regards to how much we love money and how much we love our possessions, because we cannot love two, God and money, at the same level. We have to love God more than money and also our possessions. So as we continue to think about the treasure that we have, not so much through money and through our possessions, but the treasure that we have through Jesus Christ, who came into this world to offer us so much more than money could ever buy. And that is why we are here to worship him this morning. Amen. Treasure in heaven, much more than money could ever buy. Let's come to a time of prayer. Father, we thank you so much that you have given us so, so much. You have blessed us so much. So much, Lord, that we couldn't really name all of the blessings because we would be here a very, very long time. But Lord, we just want to say thank you this morning. Thank you for all that you do for us. But most of all, thank you for who you are, because you are God, and you are God alone. And besides you, there is none other. So we say thank you for who you are. Thank you that you reign. And thank you, Lord, that there is no end to your reign. You cannot be impeached. No one can vote you out of office. Your kingdom is from everlasting to everlasting. You are eternal, and you are before all things. You are Alpha and you are Omega. You are the first and you are the last. So we honor you this morning above all things, above our money, above our treasure, above our possessions, our houses, whatever we think we own. Above all else, we honor you. So Lord, would you receive our worship this morning? May it be a sweet-smelling savour to thy nostrils, and may you be pleased with our offering of worship in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We are going to have a video at this time, a video that's entitled, Everyone Worships Something.
Everyone worships. Sure, not everyone wants to call it worship or even think about what they're doing. But everyone worships something. Everyone has some ultimate thing that they center their life around. Something or someone that they hope will give their life meaning or purpose. For some, it's religion. For others, it's money. For some, it's fun. For others, it's success or power or science or knowledge or beauty or popularity. For some, it's love or sex. For some, it's their family. But the Bible says, all things were made by Jesus and for Jesus. This means we were created to worship, but there is only one who is really worthy of our worship. That's why nothing else in this world satisfies. We keep on looking, we keep on striving, we keep on buying, but nothing delivers. Nothing brings us that deep satisfaction that we long for. But when you live your life with Jesus as the center, you're doing exactly what you're created to do. You're right in the place you're supposed to be. So the irony is that when we give our lives over to worship Jesus, that's when we actually find ourselves. Everyone worships, but we were made to worship just one.
In the place of the Lord. If you are able, please join us with the worship team to start with our song. First one, 10,000 Reasons.
sure there are some reasons why we can choose to bless his name this morning around this sanctuary. So why don't some of us now, from our hearts, just express to him, if you would like to, some of those reasons why we choose to bless his name. Let's give him praise and honor now. Yes. Amen.
Mighty God, we praise and exalt your name because you're the only God who could bring winter and summer all in the same week. Oh God, we praise you for the weather we have had today, and thank you for giving us the strength and ability to go through it, regardless of whether there are winds blowing, snow, rain, whatever it is. Almighty God, you sustain us through it all, and we praise you this morning. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
Father, we praise you for your glory. We worship you this morning, O God, and great you are. Thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior and our sin bearer. That, Lord, you loved us so much that you gave us Jesus, so that we can be with you. We come and thank you and praise you and give you glory and honor as to your name. O God, how great you are.
Amen.
Thank you for your faithfulness, dear Lord Jesus. Thank you for always showing us your love, your forgiveness, your compassion, your blessings. And above all, thank you for your sacrifice. You sacrifice yourself for us. We're so unworthy, but we are so blessed that you love us. And you carry us, you bless us, and you give us everything that we have and everything that we are. It all comes from you. Thank you, dear Lord, for all that you do and all that you are. We can never thank you enough.
Yes.
We love you so much, Jesus. You are our Lord, our Saviour, and we bless and love you and honour your name forevermore. We love you, dear Lord.
Amen. We are going to return to song, one more song, before Anna comes back with the birthday box. Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? This is amazing grace. Let's sing together.
Thank you.
This is amazing grace. Wow, that was wonderful, worship team. That was amazing. Really beautiful song. Lovely. So I get to do the exciting part of birthdays. Do we have any children or young people? I know we're all young people that have birthdays. Have I got any? Have I got a birthday? Do you want to come down? No, I thought it was for the little girl sitting next to you. Any birthdays? Doesn't want to come down? 11. You can always come down later if you're feeling a bit shy and pick something from the birthday box. But we are going to still sing happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
We hope you have a wonderful birthday. Before the children go to their groups, the children, young people, let's all bow our heads and pray for them today. Father God, thank you so much for giving us a ever-growing children and youth part of this church, Lord. May we continue to see them learn about your word. May they continue to grow in themselves and in their faith in you, Lord. Because you will be the one to guide them, protect them, and give them the strength as children and as they grow into adults, Lord. We are still praying, Lord, for a youth pastor to come into this church. But we want to thank you for the people that are working with them now, Lord. They are being used as vessels to spread your word, and we are so grateful. So today, Lord, we lift them to you. May they be filled with your love. May they be filled with your word, ready for the week and ready for the challenges that they may face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to ask you to go to your groups now. We hope that they have a wonderful morning in the house of the Lord. Before we move on to our next song, I would like us to all bow our heads and pray for Sittingbourne, for the world, and for our pastor today. Heavenly Father, there are so many different things going on in the world. We have wars, we have fighting across the globe. But only you are the person that can defeat this, Lord. We pray that more people will come to you. There has been a revival happening across the world in different countries of people praising you, lifting up your name, singing your glory. And we ask that this continues, Lord. May this not continue just around the globe, may it continue in Sittingbourne, in this church, in other churches. May we continue to work together for your glory, Lord. We are all parts of the body of Christ, and we ask that we continue to grow. Lord, we want to lift up anybody in our congregation at the moment who has been going through surgeries or illnesses or COVID. We pray for healing on their bodies, Lord, that they may be coming back to their normal selves with your help. The caregivers that are with them, that are looking after them, we pray that they are also blessed with your grace. Because it's not easy to look after someone when they're not feeling very well, Lord. So we lift them to you too. Lord, we want to pray that we see more things happening in Sittingbourne. With more children, more young people coming to God. We have such a massive youth section here, and we ask that continues in other churches in Sittingbourne, not just this one, Lord. We lift these people to you. Lord, may you be with us as we go into this week with any struggles we have going, Lord. Whether it's a bad back or pain in our heart, Lord, may you heal us and be with us. May you guide us and strengthen us. May you be the beginning of our day. May you be with us when we lay our head to rest at night. And may we wake up each day happy and ready to serve you, Lord. It's not just Sunday that we need to give our praises to you, God. It's every single day, every single breath. We are not worthy, but we are grateful, Lord. And we are so blessed that you are in this place, Lord. Before we invite Nathan to come and be the vessel for your word today, Lord. I also want to lift him to you. May you use him, God. May people in this room, whether it's their first time in this church or whether they've been coming for years, may they hear your word. May it set them up for the week. And may they go out to serve you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you are able, we invite you to sing with our worship team.
It's all about Jesus. Jesus be the center. Well, certainly thanks to our worship team for leading us in worship, and thank you all as we have continued to worship him. We're now going to come to the Holy Word of God as we continue our sermon series, as we are now looking at the stories that Jesus told in the Bible, or better known as parables in the Bible, stories that Jesus told. And as Brian let us know last week, parables or stories that Jesus told in the Gospels are simply just stories, earthly stories that have a spiritual truth attached to the story. So Jesus would often use earthly examples that the people could identify with so that he could show them a spiritual truth or relate something to the kingdom of God. Isn't it wonderful that God knows how to relate to us? He can meet us at the point of our need. And he can use the simple things in life, the simple, ordinary things that we deem as mundane, everyday things. And he can use those very things to speak to us. So we're going to look at a familiar story here in Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 12, and we're going to commence reading from verse number 13. And this is the parable or the story of the rich fool. And it says, someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, because a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And then he told them this parable or this story. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." Sounds good, doesn't it? But God said to him, "You fool! You fool! This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" Now, final verse. This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God. Let's just bow for a brief word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for your holy word. And we thank you, Lord, for these wonderful, impactful stories in the Gospels. So many that speak to us, that are still very much relevant to our situations that we face on a daily basis. And we thank you that your holy word is not an outdated book with no significance or relevance for living today. But thank you that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And there is so much relevance, so much insight in your holy word. So we pray now that you would speak to us, just like you were able to speak to these brothers thousands of years ago. We pray you will speak to each and every one of us here this morning. And we'll be careful to give your name the glory, the honor, and the praise. Anoint me afresh now as your servant, as I preach and make known the mystery of your gospel. Give me the boldness now to speak, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to speak from this thought this morning. Should we, can we say that together? Should we save for a rainy day? Should we really save for a rainy day? Friends, it's interesting here that these two brothers before us in the text, in this ancient parable, I believe these two brothers are symptomatic expressions of the human reality. Because as human beings, we are often concerned, aren't we, with the everyday needs of our flesh. Our minds are flooded on a daily basis with concerns, with worries about the practicalities of our everyday needs. In fact, at times they can even consume us to the point where we can even become stressed and burdened. And one of the central areas of concern, church, that we all have to grapple with on a daily basis, I believe one of the key areas of concern for each and every one of us, is the subject and the topic concerning our finances. Money, money, money. And secondly, what money can buy, what we can do with money, which often relates and equals to our possessions. And all of us here today are familiar with the saying, and even our young people would be familiar with this saying. And I'm sure they are very up to date, and they perhaps may put it in a different way. But there's an old age saying that has even relevance for us today, that it's good to save for a rainy day. It's good to save for a rainy day. In other words, it's good to put something away for another day, to invest in the future, to save for something that may crop up unbeknownst in the future. And we know, church, that saving is a healthy discipline. It can help us. It can help our families in the long run. And clearly for these two brothers in Luke chapter 12, it's abundantly clear from verse 1, friends, that their father deployed the very principle of saving for a rainy day. Their father, over the course of his life, did not squander the money or succumb to the temptation of the prodigal son, if you will, who wasted his inheritance on riotous living, out of control spending. But the two brothers here in Luke chapter 12, they were arguing over the fact that their father had an inheritance for them. And their argument was, we want the inheritance to be split equally. We want our share. We want what is due to us. And they summon Jesus and they ask Jesus a question. They wanted him to become almost like a referee amongst their dispute. And they wanted their inheritance to be sorted out. Now, church, the Bible doesn't give us much background information about these two brothers and about their situation. But let's just imagine for a moment, being in the shoes of the brothers, let's just imagine that you here are right on the verge of receiving a large lump sum of money. Can you see it? Can you picture it? You've just received notice that you are about to receive a large sum of money and some valuable possessions. An amount of money that the world would deem as life-changing. Money that would be able to give you the freedom to go wherever you want to go, to buy whatever you would like to buy. My question this morning, if that was the case for you today, what would you do with the money? What would you do with such an inheritance? With a newly upgraded bank balance, what would you do with it? What would you choose to do with the money? Would you decide to purchase life's most luxurious comforts? Would you decide to go on a nice summer holiday? Or maybe you would decide to immigrate to a new country, get away from Sittingbourne, where you can have warm weather all year round. Or maybe you would buy that new car that you've seen being advertised on the TV. Maybe you would want the car that has those heated, luxurious seats and those new cup holders now in some of these modern cars that can keep your hot drink warm and keep your cold drink cold. Or maybe you would be inclined to invest your money into a new business startup. Or you'd make some investments to make sure that your children and your grandchildren want for nothing in their future endeavors. However, church, as we consider in our minds the prospect of inheriting a large sum of money, the reality, friends, with any form of money that we may earn or receive is simply this. It's the reality that we can only do three things with the money. Here it is. Number one, we can save it or invest it. Number two, we can spend it. And third and finally, we can choose to give it away. Regardless of how much money we have, there are only three possible options that you and I can choose to do with our money. Save it, invest, or we can choose to spend it, or we can choose to give it away. Because regardless of how much money we have, we earn or receive, there's only really three options that we can do with our money. As many of you know, my granddad recently passed away in Jamaica, and my mum came back this week and she shared a story with me that was interesting. She said that when they went to the house where he was living and they began to, you know, tidy up all of his possessions, his belongings, she said that she found some envelopes in the house. It was some wads of cash that was neatly pinned together, English money, that my mum and her sister over the years had sent to my granddad. Untouched, kept, not spent, but neatly kept in a filing cabinet in his house. Now here's the reality. Although my granddad had saved up all of this English money, he did not choose to get it changed and spend it. He saved the money. And now he has transitioned from this life. And the reality is that the majority of those notes were old English money. You can no longer spend them anymore. So my mom brought them back to the UK, and she had this large wad of cash that she was able to show me. But now those notes have expired. The old £10 notes, the old 20 notes, wads of cash, neatly, pristine condition, but now they're good for nothing. And it was at that moment, friends, that the Lord sent me an email from heaven. Because sometimes we save, we put away for a rainy day, and there's nothing wrong with the principle of saving. But the reality is that we are, here it is, temporal beings. We are temporal beings. And at the end of the day, regardless of how much money we save, how much wise investments we make with our money, how much good we even choose to do with our money, at the end of the day, when we transition from this life, we cannot take the money with us. Our bank accounts that we may have kept for many, many years, when we perish, those bank accounts have no more significance for us. I heard a joke once that whenever you see a funeral, a committal, you'll never see wads of cash being deposited into the grave. Because although that person being laid to rest can have an eternal rest, but at the end of the day, that person cannot make any transactions in the grave. So saving for a rainy day may profit us in this life, but in the life to come, only what we do for Christ will last. Because, church, there is another bank account that you and I have. It's called a spiritual bank account. And the spiritual bank account is unlike our temporal Halifax and Barclays and all the other bank accounts that we have in this life. But our spiritual bank accounts, they are eternal. And the investments that we make into the spiritual bank account, they will never die. They will never decay. They can never grow old. Because whatever we invest into the spiritual bank account, we can rest assured that Jesus knows all of those investments and he is keeping record as to everything that we invest in the spiritual bank account. So I want to ask you another question today. Are you saving for a rainy day, not just in this life, but in the life to come? Hallelujah. So as we come to the main points of our text this morning, because as Christians, as we've been singing about this morning, our first port of call, yes, we have so many worries and concerns in this life. For parents here, how am I going to make sure that my children are catered for, that they have clothes, that they can go to all of the school trips and make sure that they have all that they need? And we have all of these concerns, and there's nothing wrong with that. God knows we need to take care of our loved one. God knows we need to provide for our children. God knows that we need to go and work to earn a living. But most of all, the number one priority for us as children of God is to make sure that our primary focus is not on the everyday minute things in this life, but our first port of call is the kingdom of God. It is to make sure that our hearts are postured towards Christ first. That's why in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, it says, "Seek first the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need." We've got to make sure that our priorities are not solely based on our money, on finances, on the practical things in life, but most of all, our focus, our primary focus, should be on Jesus. So I want to leave with you this morning these three points that I see from the text that can help us to reassess and to analyze in our lives, in our families. Is our focus so much on our money? Is our focus so much on our possessions, even more so than the kingdom of God? And the first thing we should do to avoid this, number one, is we need a constant motive check towards our money and possessions. We need to check ourselves. And it needs to be not just a one-time check, but a constant check every day to make sure that our motives are pure towards our money and our possessions. Now, as I said, we don't know too much about these brothers here. And we don't know what had happened to their father. But unfortunately, we see in a similar vein today, similar examples of disagreements and breakdowns in relationships over money. We see people fall out and never speak to each other again over money. We see people hold grudges and struggle to forgive someone because of money. Maybe It was a case where you helped someone in the past. You helped them financially. They needed help, and you decided to help them financially, to give them, and you made an arrangement to say, okay, I'm going to lend you some money. I'm going to lend you some money. I'm going to lend you some money. And the agreement was, and the expectation for you was, that at some point you would pay me back the money. But year after year, it seems like that agreement of lend turned into an agreement of give. And it hurts. It hurts when you run into that person and they greet you and they don't want to talk about the arrangement that we had prior. And that's a challenge, because you feel hard done by. There is that inner feeling that, hold on, I want the money back. I could do with the money now. We see many, many disagreements, friends. Maybe you've seen them in your own families. Families arguing over the inheritance of someone that has passed away in their family. Fractured relationships over money and possessions. My mom let me know that when they went to the home, and the siblings were saying, no, well, I'm going to have this, or I'm going to have this. Well, I would want this from that. I would want this. Possessions and money, it can cause tensions in relationships. But Jesus says something amazing, and he encourages the brothers to say, hold on a minute. I know you have a problem regarding the inheritance. I know the inheritance is on your mind. But first of all, be on your guard. Verse 2. Be on your guard against. Here it is. Verse 15. He says to them, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Be careful of greed. Yes, you have this disagreement over the possessions. But you need to watch out against greed. Why? Because a man's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. So why do we get so worked up over money and possessions? Why should we allow disagreements and break down in relationships over money? Jesus says to the brothers, there's something else you need to think about. You're thinking about what you can spend and what you can do in this life. But what about your eternal soul? What about your eternal destiny? That's why the Bible lets us know, what does it profit a man or a woman to gain the whole world but lose your soul? And sometimes as human beings, we have to be careful. And sometimes the temptation of this can fall on the young. When people are young, we feel like we've got all the time in the world. And sometimes to get people, when they're young, to think about their eternal destiny, it's difficult because, hold on, I'm young, I'm fit, I'm healthy. I've never been to the doctor in years. I'm good. I'm all right. Don't need to think about Jesus and eternal life now. Live for the moment. But Jesus says, be on your guard. Life is so much more than just possessions, about getting and the accumulation of wealth. Yes, there's nothing wrong with money. We need money. But money should not be the primary focus in our lives. Jesus says there's much more than money, so much more in this life that we can find that money can buy. And the challenge for us, church, is do we, even as Christians, we have to guard ourselves against this, do we value the material things in this life more than God and his kingdom? You've Often it's important for us to think about some of the most prized possessions that we own. Some of those things that we hold dearly to our lives. If the Lord spoke to us and said, I want you to give it away, how easy would we find it to do that? The Lord said to you, give away your car. Really, Lord? Give someone your salary, half of your salary. Lord, are you okay? Really? Sometimes it's so important that we assess within our hearts, how much do we value the temporal things in this life? How firm of a grip do we have on those temporal things in this life? Because at the end of the day, things may come, things may go. Money may come, money may go. But at the end of the day, Jesus is the only constant reality that will be with us in the good times and the bad times. When we have money and when we don't have money, Jesus will always be there. So he should be our ultimate and primary focus. But secondly, we need to minimize the I and embrace the us. We see here in this story that six times when Jesus goes on now to tell the parable of this man who was blessed with his crop. He had a good crop. And he thought to himself, what shall I do with all of these crops? And then he decided to make some investments so that the crops will continue to grow. He built more barns so that he would have more. And his goal was that he would have enough that he could live out the rest of his days and be merry, eat and drink, and just enjoy life. Take it easy and put his feet up. But six times throughout Jesus' story, we notice from verse 4 that this man, he was only speaking about himself. He was only interested in himself. He says, look what he says. He says, he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns. I'll build bigger ones. And then I will store all of my goods. And then I'll say to myself, for many years, take life easy, eat and drink and be merry. The man had a great plan for himself, but there was no thought to say, since I have so much, since I have been blessed with so much, why don't I seek to be a blessing to someone else? Why don't I use my plenty to help someone else who does not have much? There was no thought for anyone else. And it's so important for us as Christians that we always seek within our finances and with whatever the Lord blesses us with, what can I do to be a blessing to someone else? What can I do to lend a hand of support to someone else? What we may think is just a small thing to do for someone, you have no idea. That could be a massive, massive blessing for that person. That they turn around and say, wow, if only you knew how much I needed this. We've got to guard against the greed of our money and possessions. We've got to guard against the I mentality. What can I get? What can I get? But what about other people? There was no thought to share his abundance. It was all about self-aggrandizement, all about enlarging his own territory and securing his future. And that's why I believe as a church, friends, it's incumbent upon us that whatever we do it for Christ and whatever we do in the local church, we've got to also bear in mind the lost in our community, those who are less fortunate, those who are needy, those who are poor, those who have needs. What can we do as a congregation to bless those who are in need? We thank God for those who serve in our food bank. We thank God for those who go out with the street pastors and seek to touch people's lives, to be a blessing to someone else. Because it's not about just coming to church, having a good time, enjoying the good singing, and go home. But our call is to be the hands and the feet of Christ, to touch the brokenhearted, and to reach people who are in need. Jesus is not saying that we shouldn't have possessions and we shouldn't have money. And if we're blessed to be financially well off, well, praise the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. But the challenge for each and every one of us, what will we seek to do with our money? What will we seek to do with the blessings that God has given us? Do we value the material more than the spiritual? Do we value the temporal more than the eternal? But third and finally, this morning, we must ensure that our spiritual bank accounts are healthy. We've got to make sure that we check on our spiritual bank accounts. In the natural bank account, if there's not enough money in the bank to pay our bills or whatever direct debits may be coming out, then the bank will send us a notification, a letter or an email to say there's not enough funds in the account to pay for the bills that are going out. And then we start to go into those of us who have overdrafts. And then if we're not careful and we're struggling, we can go into arrears. But our spiritual bank accounts are different. We don't need to put money in our spiritual bank accounts. But what we do need to make sure is to make sure that we are investing in spiritual building. Can we say spiritual building? Number one, the basics, prayer. How is our prayer life? Because if we are struggling to pray and to connect with God in our prayer lives, then our spiritual bank accounts will be running on empty. Worship and studying the Holy Bible. By doing so, we are investing in our spiritual bank accounts. And if we struggle to invest in reading God's word so that we are built up on his holy word, then we will struggle throughout the week to focus on him. And the temporal things in this life will consume our thoughts. When we read the word of God, We take his word and we apply it to those temporal worries of this life. And although we say, yes, this bill needs paying, this is my concern, but here is the word of God. The cattle on a thousand hills, they belong to God. But if we don't know his word, then we will be consumed with the worries and the pressures in this life. In closing, I read a quote this week that blessed me. It says, we can relax on a plane, even though we don't know the pilot. We can relax on a ship, even though we don't know the captain. We can even relax on a bus, even though we don't know the driver. So how much more can we relax in God, knowing that He has made the heavens and the earth, knowing that He that watches over Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps? Why should we stress ourselves out over the temporal things of this life, when God says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the whole world and they that dwell therein? The old song growing up in Sunday school, it says, why should we worry when we can pray? Trust Jesus, for He will be your stay. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Lean fully on His promise. Why worry, worry, when you can pray? God did not take a positive view on this man's dealings because He was so concerned about the temporal. He was so concerned about enlarging His own territory, so concerned about taking it easy and providing a nice future for Himself. But God said to him, you fool, because you are rich in the natural, but spiritually you are poor. And I want to challenge all of us here this morning in closing. What is our current bank account balance and status in the spirit realm? Are we running on empty? Do we need a top up spiritually? Then right now, we can pray to Him and ask the Lord, fill my cup, Lord. Fill it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. We may not have all the money that we need, all the possessions that we need, but only Jesus can satisfy our soul. Let's come to Him in prayer now. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You for Your word, and we thank You for this ancient parable. Lord, would You help us in the area of our finances and our possessions? Yes, we know we need money, and there's nothing wrong in having money, nothing wrong in having possessions. But help us, Lord, not to be so fixated on our money, so fixated on what we own, more so than focusing and prioritizing You and Your kingdom. Help us to seek first the kingdom of God and Your righteousness. Help us to prioritize our spiritual bank accounts. And Lord, even with the blessings that You give us, with our finances, our treasure, our possessions, help us to be, to have a heart to bless others, to reach out and to help others in need. Help us not just to be like this man and try to build our own futures, but help us to bless others so that someone else can be blessed, encouraged, and uplifted. And finally, as a church family, help us, Lord, and give us new vision and new ways in which we can bless our community even more. Help us, Lord, to use what we have, to use what You have blessed us with, so that we can touch the lives of Your people in this generation and in this community. We pray, Lord, that we would not be a fool with our money, that You would not look on us and say that we are a fool with our money, but help us, Lord, to be wise with our finances, to be wise with our possessions, knowing most of all that it's not about what we have and how much money we have in the bank, but most of all, it's about knowing Jesus, of whom to know is life eternal. So we thank you now. We pray you continue to be with us as we seek to be a blessing to each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we are going to conclude our service and return to song once more. And just a notice here before we sing. At the conclusion of the service, the prayer corner to my right, your left, there at the back, is open for anyone who would like prayer. Please do utilize this. There will be prayer partners on hand to pray with you and to serve you. And just a notice for, I know our young, it's probably not going to be relevant because they're not with us, but parents, if you can just encourage, and grandchildren, your children who are here. We have had in recent weeks children come up after service and play on the drums and make a racket, and we love that. We love to encourage them, but it's just that sometimes people are praying in the prayer corner and it can cause a disturbance. So we would just encourage you, once the children come out, please just keep an eye on them, just to let them know. We don't want to discourage them. We want them to play the instruments, but just for that period after the service, while people are praying, if they can avoid making a noise while people are praying. And what you can do is encourage them to come to our youth band practice on Thursday at 6:15. They can make all the noise they want on Thursday. So thank you for your understanding. Our worship team are going to lead us in our final song. Let's stand and sing together. thank you, worship team. And please do join us in the church lounge for teas and coffees and for a time of fellowship. And because of Jesus, because he is the first and the last, he is our primary focus, then we can say and join in with the song. And now let the weak say, I am strong. And let the poor say, I am rich. Because not of the money that we have or the possessions that we have, but because of what the Lord has done. And that is why you and I can be rich towards God. Let's go to him in prayer now. Father, we thank you so much for your word and for the worship, Lord, that we have been able to offer to you from our hearts. We pray that you have been pleased with our offering of worship this morning. We do again pray for all of those who were unable to be with us this morning, those who are sick, those who are recovering at home. We pray, Lord, that they would know your peace at this time, that they would know your strength, and that you would encourage them through your Holy Spirit. And Lord, as we leave this place, but never from your presence, until we meet again, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of us now, as well as forevermore. Amen. Amen. God bless you all.